on to fundamental number two, which is going after hungrier markets. If you want to give yourself an immediate pay raise as a writer, copywriter, or marketing consultant, this is the one. It's start going after hungrier markets. Now, of course, I'm not talking about prospects who haven't had breakfast. I'm talking about markets that would be willing to pay more for the services you currently offer. In many cases, offering the same or similar services to other audiences can double or triple your freelance income, all without working any more hours than you're working today. In fact, I believe this alone can really move the income needle for you, because frankly, when I start working with coaching clients and low fees are one of their biggest challenges, I've found that in most cases, they're going after and signing on too many clients in markets that are simply not willing to pay more. They're going after or signing on clients that just don't get the value of what they do. The market that they're pursuing, meaning writers, is so overrun with other writers competing for a limited set of clients that the clients just go with the lowest bidder. And they know they can. They know they can just, you know, find enough of the quality they need for just a bargain basement price. Or it could be all of the above. So it's typically a combination of these factors that's just working completely against you. So basically, most writers, copywriters, marketing consultants are stuck in a red ocean situation. There's a great book out there called The Blue Ocean Strategy. And, you know, I can give you the book in a nutshell. If you're in a small pool with a lot of predators and very little fish, that's going to be a very bloody pool because everyone's just fighting for whatever's in there. You want to be in a blue ocean situation. You want to be in an ocean where there is way more room, way more variety, way more opportunity. You don't want to be stuck in a red ocean situation. I find that most solo professionals are really just stuck and they don't realize that there's this whole blue ocean out there that's easily accessible if they would just look. All right, so back to hungrier markets. I want to give you a couple of examples so you can see the impact that this slight strategic shift can have on your writing business. And this, the first time I really kind of became aware of this and my mindset shifted was reading an article in Forbes magazine about this lady by the name of Pat Baird. Pat is a registered dietitian. She's worked on her own for a couple of decades, maybe longer. And rather than struggling in traditional dietitian markets with her nutritionist colleagues, she made a conscious decision a few years ago to position herself in hungrier markets. And the strategy worked. It worked really well. And today she earns a very nice living working for major healthcare and pharmaceutical companies and the PR agencies for these companies. And at least this is the time that I read the article. I looked her up recently and it looked like she was still doing this. But the point was this: rather than providing traditional nutrition services, she instead does now consulting work. She also writes white papers and web articles. She makes speeches, produces TV segments, and serves on advisory boards. She also teaches nutrition as an adjunct at two colleges, and she's basically thriving. And the reason she's thriving is that she's working in markets that are willing to pay higher fees for her knowledge, for her skills, for her perspectives. So Let's look at a couple of examples. If you're a journalist struggling to land work with magazines and trade publications, which, let's face it, these are rapidly dying markets, how about going after case studies and white papers in industries or topics you find interesting? Or if you're a copywriter who typically goes after small local businesses, how about shifting some of your prospecting toward mid-sized corporations that already have budgets for content marketing projects. In fact, this is one that I see a lot. It's, you know, when I start working with coaching clients, we kind of do an inventory of who they've been working with. In many cases, they have, remember what I said, the seats in a bus, right? So out of five seats, three are taken up by these really demanding, low-paying, hard-to-manage, hard-to-please clients that are just, they're too small, they're unsophisticated, they don't get the true value of what these writers bring to the table. And, you know, that's a really tough place to be, very tough place to be. So in these examples, the whole idea is you'd be shifting your focus toward markets that already get the value of a good business writer or copywriter or marketing consultant. And you would instead be pitching projects they already know, they already understand, ideas they already need, as opposed to just struggling, you know, to continue to sell your value, the value of your ideas, the value of the projects that you're working on. So you might be asking yourself, okay, that I get it. makes perfect sense. But where do you find such markets? And I'm glad you asked. And I'll say this, before you start looking, you first have to understand a few dynamics in terms of how where the real needs are, what the clues are, and also how clients prioritize their budgets and how shifts in budgets and priorities impact their demand for your services. The first concept I want to make sure you understand, and this came straight from Gordon Graham, my friend and colleague, Gordon Graham, one of the best, if not the best, most prolific white paper writers in the world. He taught me years ago, Ed, you have to look for prospects that are marketing and selling products or services that are innovative, expensive, and complex. Now, I don't remember if it was him or me, but I realized that you don't need all three. You need someone who checks off two out of the three boxes. Three out of three would be great, but two out of the three would be fantastic. And when I started applying this formula, this litmus test to many prospects, I realized that many of the people that I was going after, many of the people who they were already clients and I was really struggling with them in terms of getting higher paying work, they were meeting maybe one out of the three, and in some cases, zero out of three. And so this is a great thing to keep in mind as you're kind of assessing opportunities, whether they're new opportunities or existing clients that you think you might have to let go of. So innovative, what do I mean by that? Well, their products and services are, they're rapidly changing. They have a new approach to an old problem. They have new services coming out on a regular basis, or new products coming out on a regular basis. So there's a lot of innovation happening, right? And why is that important? Well, when you have innovation, when things are changing rapidly, guess what? That calls for more copy, more marketing content, et cetera. The things that you help clients with, it calls for more marketing, right? So that's a nice factor to be on the lookout for. Expensive. Now, expensive is relative, okay? But expensive in terms of what I mean by expensive, it would be a considered purchase for your client's target market. So if they're selling to power plants, for instance, equipment to power plants, this means that these are not purchases the power plant would just put on a credit card, you know, not office supplies. So we're talking about equipment that they have to consider. There might be a buying committee involved to make the decision, and it's a lot of money. You know, it's not a $300 item or invoice. We're talking about, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, some cases millions. So again, it's all relative, but expensive. I think that the best litmus test there or indicator is that it's a considered purchase as opposed to an impulse buy or something they could just, you know, put on a Visa or a MasterCard. And finally, complex. Again, this is also relative, but complex, the explanation there is that it needs to be explained. You know, think about printing paper or a lamp or a desk or a tax filing service for an individual. That's, I mean, it might be somewhat complex, but it's pretty straightforward. I mean, people know, the buyer knows what this entails. Complex would be a product or service that it's sometimes tied to the innovation item there, the first item that's innovative, that's a new approach. It's got a lot of moving parts, a lot of elements to it. It's an extensive product or service. Maybe it's if it's a service, it's a months long engagement. So there's complexity there. And the reason complexity is important is that complexity requires explanation. It requires written content. It requires copy. So all these point to the fact that they would need someone with your skill set. So what, you know, just to name some industries, and there are so many that meet at least two out of the three. High tech is an obvious one, right? It's always changing. It's typically expensive. It's complex, needs to be explained. Anything in healthcare, medical devices, medical services, medical equipment, all kinds of healthcare has so many facets to it, you know, from in terms of the services provided, companies selling into healthcare to help them with their operation and the delivery of their services. Talking about services, professional services of any kind. So consulting, accounting, business improvement, risk mitigation services. I mean, the list goes on and on and on in professional services. Energy, financial services. The financial industry has so many sectors to it that meet at least two out of the three criteria. Business process outsourcing. So by that, I mean, it's a, you know, you businesses that outsource all the fulfillment in order fulfillment, order processing. They're just kind of taking a whole business function away. And instead of doing it in-house, they outsource it to somebody else. The companies that market, that sell those services to Fortune 500 companies, they're going to need marketing materials. They're going to need copy. Manufacturing equipment, e-commerce. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. What you want to stay away from, I think it's just easier to find the ones that don't meet two out of the three. You know, it's a small business owner and I've been helping her for several years. And then when I start asking questions, it's very obvious that there's really nothing innovative that she's selling in her business. It's not really that expensive and it's not complex at all. So maybe one of the three might be met, but in many cases, these problem clients that freelancers are telling me about, they're just not meeting the criteria. All right. So moving on. The next thing to kind of be on the lookout for is this idea of nice to have, important or urgent. So most clients prioritize their internal projects on a scale. Each specific project, whether it's a lead generation campaign, a white paper project, website content refresh, or whatever, is either going to be, in their mind, nice to have, important, or urgent. So when the economy is strong, I find that people and organizations spend money in all three categories, even though the last one always gets the biggest share, urgent projects, right? But when conditions deteriorate or a market becomes much more competitive, and that's the key. Like, I don't want you to think this is a recession versus good economy thing. It certainly is that. But when a market becomes more competitive, things start to, the dynamics of that industry start to change. Priorities inside these organizations are going to change. So budgets become much more focused on important and urgent items, and nice to have projects are put on hold or they're scrapped altogether. Bottom line is that in a challenging economy or competitive markets, writers have to focus on projects that are considered urgent or important by their clients. I came to this realization in 2008 when the economy completely tanked. I began a concerted effort to go after content writing projects that were directly tied to my clients' lead generating activities because budgets for those types of projects tend to remain strong even in tough times. And it wasn't just that. I even content marketing projects that I knew were going to be essential. Or I started going after companies that were in areas or sectors, because my focus was technology, but sectors in technology that were especially useful or critical in recessionary times. That these are technologies that companies were investing in during a recession because they were helping them shore up their business and then get ready for the uptick, the eventual uptick in business. So you see, it's not so much about a specific set of industries that are hungry as much as it is about targeting companies that truly value the type of writing you do, and just making sure that you're going or positioning your work, your services, at things that are either urgent or important, not nice to have. But there's a second part to this reality. You can't afford to go after prospects that provide primarily nice to have services to their own customers. And now note that I'm talking about their products or services, not yours. So if you're marketing to, let's say, a manufacturing, you're writing for a manufacturer of equipment, it would be the equipment they sell and how that's perceived by their own customers. Okay. So my freelance business took off once I started going after clients that tackle urgent issues for their own customers and their target markets. And as a result, these companies are relatively recession-proof, which in turn helps keep my own business relatively recession-proof. So for instance, one of my clients helps their customers increase sales, reduce costs, and minimize risk, all of which are urgent goals, right? Today and anytime. Another one would help their customers reduce equipment theft and unnecessary equipment purchases. That's certainly an urgent thing in any economy. Another would help their customers reduce the risk of losing millions of dollars in market share in the event of a product recall. Very, very important. Another one, just to give you one more example, help their clients drastically reduce healthcare costs, as well as employee absenteeism and productivity. So you can see that all these are either important at a minimum or urgent priorities to my clients' customers. So I want to go after basically clients that are marketing products and services that their own target market deem to be at a minimum important and preferably urgent. Related to this is that you need to start going after clients and markets that already get the value of a great business writer or copywriter. So you want to go where there's already an existing and strong demand, where they truly value the type of work that you do. And a great indicator of this is look to see what they're producing, what they're publishing. You know, a lot of people go after companies and organizations that don't seem to have any content or really do a good job with their copy. And that's a mistake. I mean, I understand the thought process. Well, they really need me. You know, they need a savior. Well, you don't want to be a savior. You want to go where they already get it, where they're already writing this stuff. Because just because they have it doesn't mean that they are doing a good job producing it, that they don't need help getting it out the door. In many cases, they do need that help, especially with overflow work, or you don't know what's going on behind the curtain. So you're much better off going after companies that are already writing the stuff, where they're starving, so to speak. I'll leave you with this. And this is something that I'm bringing back. My good friend, Gordon Graham, showed me one time over lunch. On a napkin, the back of a napkin. I thought, my gosh, this is such an elegant way of describing hungrier markets. And he drew a matrix, business to consumer markets, business to business markets. Those are the columns. And the rows were copy. So copywriting projects where you're selling something. And then the other row was content marketing projects where you're doing mostly educational marketing. And what he laid out for me is, I mean, it's just, it's a great way of describing where you might want to focus your efforts. This doesn't apply across the board 100%, but it's a pretty good description of where the opportunities are. So writing copy in business to consumer markets, especially if it's sales generating copy, the opportunity there for a copywriter is pretty significant. That's why I have three dollar signs. Okay. Depending on where you go, of course, there's a lot of, it depends. But everything else being equal, this is a great area of opportunity. If you like writing sales generating copy for consumer markets, there is definitely room for you to make a great living, okay, and to get higher paying clients. Now, the opposite is true if you want to stick with consumer markets, but you don't want to write copy, you really want to write educational content, such as blog posts and articles. Okay, there's very little money in that. Again, there are exceptions, just like with anything else, but this is going to be a very limited opportunity. If you're writing about, you know, baby cribs, if you're writing about, you know, the bumper stickers and printing services, and I'm just trying to come up with other consumer items, snacks, things like that. There are exceptions, but mostly if you're writing about, you know, the educational content such as blog posts and articles in those markets, very limited. Business to business, there is an opportunity to write copy. It's usually going to be lead generating copy. It's not going to be as lucrative as writing copy for business to consumers market, consumer markets, because these are not sales generating pieces that you're going to be writing. It's going to be lead generating pieces. The opposite, however, is true in business to business markets if you want to stick to educational content, so content marketing. Again, just like with anything, there are going to be exceptions, but those are the two opportunities in B2B. So really, you know, business to consumer markets, writing sales generating copy, and business to business writing content marketing, these are going to be your best bets. So I'll leave you with that, something to think about, something to use to kind of think about where you are right now and use it as a diagnostic tool and as a tool to help you focus in terms of where you're going to start focusing most of your marketing efforts.